Shlach. This is the first week that I'm giving the shmooze at from home. I want to thank one of the alumni from a number of years ago who encouraged me to continue saying shmoozin even after the zman. So it's in his schus. I want to make three different say over three different ideas from the parasha. Number one, the pasuk tells us that the meraglim said, "Veshomra inu es hanefilim bnei anak min hanefilim." Right, we saw the giants. The sons of giants, v'nihi be'einenu kechagovim, v'chein hayinu be'einehem, and we were like grasshoppers in our eyes, and then they say, and so we were in their eyes. So the Chavetz Chaim brings down a medrash. Medrash tells us that the Kodesh Baruch Hu says that I can overlook the fact that you said that you look like grasshoppers in your eyes, but I cannot overlook the fact that you said that you look like grasshoppers in their eyes. How do you know? How do you know what's going on in their eyes and in their mind? Maybe who says that in their eyes, the eyes of the giants in Eretz Yisrael, you don't look like Malachim? You're right, you may look small in their eyes because they're huge, but who says you don't look like holy creatures like Malachim? And so Chavetz Chaim brings out from here a tremendous lesson in self-esteem and self-awareness. And that is that a person can feel a person can feel small, but he should never feel as if the people around him that are looking at him are looking down upon him and seem as being wicked. Oftentimes, a person feels like he's inadequate, he has plenty to work on and so forth. And the natural sequence of events is that the natural result of that is that he thinks that everybody around him looks down upon him. But it's not true, says the Medrash, based on this idea. And that's not true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make it, and also people are supposed to don the kavskos. So they look at you, they say, wow, you're a malach. And instead of saying, wow, I'm inadequate, I'm not good, I'm wicked, a person can focus on the fact that other people can be looking at him in a positive light. And if other people are looking at you in a positive light, then it'll be an impetus to improve and to go in the right direction. And I think that as a Rebbe, as somebody who's been in the yeshiva for a number of years, that anybody who's, whatever you're doing, if you're learning a little bit, if you're davening a little bit, if you're, you know, let's say you're davening three times a day with a minyan, but you don't feel like you have the proper kavana. So everything is really a great accomplishment. Obviously, we can always do more, but we have to focus also on the positives that we're doing. If you're davening, that's great. If you're learning, that's great. If you can be improving in other areas, that's true. But we look at you, and we should try to envision that other people are looking at us like Malachim. We can never look at ourselves and say that everybody else thinks we're grasshoppers. No, we could be in Hashem's eyes and in the eyes of all people like Malachim. And therefore, that's how we have to try to internalize we should try to internalize that message that we can be like Malachim. Mamish. That's number one. Number two, very interesting, in the beginning of the parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu sends Yeshua off and says, "Kol Yashiach Yisrael, may Hashem save you from Atas Meraglim." That's the send-off that Yeshua gets. Now, Kolev gets a different send-off. He doesn't necessarily get a special bracha, a send-off like that. But when they come to Hebron, he davens by Kivrei Avos that he should be saved from the Eitzah of the Meraglim. And then, and Yeshua doesn't accompany Kolev by that tefillah. And also, at the end of the parasha, Kalev is referred to and is praised, and Yeshua is not. Abdi Kalev Akev Ahisa Ruach Acheras Imo Vaymelech Rai of Yosivel Haaretz Asher Boshem Avizar Yerushena. There's a certain praise given to Kalev. So you see that Kalev and Yeshua are seemingly on different paths to the same place of not falling prey to the Meraglim and their approach and their words. So to explain this, the Chavetz Chaim explains that there's two ways of approaching being around wicked people. And that is, number one, mahalach is to be strong and to be like Smash Mouth football, to speak up and fight against everything that's wicked about them. That's one approach. The other approach is to remain quiet and stay on the inside and keep it inside, how you feel and how opposed you are to their views. And there's an advantage and a disadvantage of in each approach. In the first approach, if you're very tough and speak up against every bad thing that the group is doing, so it could be they're going to hurt you. It could be they're going to come to really, really, really damage you, monetarily, physically. But on the other hand, there's a certain advantage that you become stronger. The more you speak about it, the more excited you are, the better off you are. That's the first approach. The second approach is that you stay quiet. Now, the advantage there is that you can sort of prevent them from having negative influence on other people. And you could also have influence on them because they think you're on their side. But the danger is that you may become influenced by them. The fact that you externally don't show anything, it's only internal. So there's a danger there as well. And Moshe Rabbeinu obviously saw that these two paths were what was right for each one. Yoshua certainly was fit for the first approach, that is to speak out against the Meraglim and strengthen himself. But yet Kalev, his ideal way of doing things was to keep quiet and internally feel what's right and enable him to really speak up in front of Klal Yisrael and speak the truth. And that's why Kalev had to go. Kalev was he was Dafka the one who had to go daven. Because why? He had to go daven for Siyata Deshmaya of Tefillah and Bracha, that he shouldn't fall prey to the negative influence of the Meraglim. Yoshua didn't have to daven not to fall prey from the Meraglim. They wouldn't talk to him. The Meraglim wouldn't talk to Yeshua. He was openly against them. But Kalev, who went with a different approach, when it came time to defend Moshe Rabbeinu and Eretz Yisrael, so Vayahas Kalev was able to hush the crowd and speak up, and the Meraglim didn't stop him. And he was able to say, what? Ben Amram, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was instrumental in Kriyas Yamsuf, and the Mon, and the Slav. And so therefore, that was the approach of Kalev, and it enabled him to speak up when the time came. And Rashi says that there were two Ruchos, that Kalev was Echo and Peve Echo Belev. So the Meraglim thought that he was with them. But even though internally he was certainly followed the way of the MS and the right path as well. And you really see that there's two Mahalachim in life. Certain, and also, the Tosefta brings down that it always says Yeshua before Kalev, except for in our Parsha, not in our Parsha, in Parsha's Matos, in Bamidbar Lamed Beis Yud, so it says Kalev before Yeshua, to teach you that they're equal. Now, even though L'maisa, we know that Yeshua is obviously greater, he was the successor to Moshe Rabbeinu as the transmission of the Torah. There's no question about that. So why would one time in the Torah show that Kalev is greater than Yeshua? To teach us this lesson. And even though this Mahalach seems to be, Yeshua is greater, and this Mahalach seems to be the more conventional Mahalach and being tough and being outspoken and being clear when you're amongst wicked people, nevertheless, there's a certain Milah, the Torah is telling us, there's a certain advantage in also being quiet and internally keeping quiet and then waiting for the opportunity to reveal the truth about what's going on and if the wicked people are going to try to influence other people negatively. And that's why Kalev went that route, and that's why Kalev was the one who had to go daven for that Siyata Deshmaya and for that Tefillah. The third point that I think is important to mention is from the Hakdama in Sefer Chofetz Chaim, and the Gemara in Erechin tells us, Amar V'lozer Bar Parta, how bad is Lashon Hara? How do you know? If this is what speaking bad about trees and stones, meaning Eretz Yisrael, which is an inanimate object, all the more so if you speak Lashon Hara about your friend. As it says, they died. And Klal Yisrael couldn't come into Eretz Yisrael. And we know that this was the source of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, right? One would think Chet HaEgel was worse because it was against Hashem. No, speaking bad about the land, about stones and trees, that was even worse. And that was the source of the Churban Habayis, as it says, Atem b'chisa b'chiyos shalchinam, right? V'ani akvel lahem b'chiyos doiris, the Gemara in Tainis. So you see that from here, the danger and the transgression of Lashon Hara is so great that this is the source of all the Churban. And this is Meduyuk in the Pasuk in Tehillim Kuvvav, Perek Kuvvav, Pasuk Chavdal, Vayimasu Be'aretz Chemda. They despised the desirable land. Lohaminu B'Ludvaro. They didn't listen to Hashem's word. Vayiragnu Ba'aleim. They murmured in their tents. Losham B'Bukal Hashem. They didn't listen to Hashem. Vayisu Yadu Lahem. So Hashem lifted his hand against them. Lahapil also the midbar, and he wiped them out in the midbar. Lahapil zar begoyim, and to cast down the descendants by the goyim, and to scatter them among the lands, which is a certainly alluding to the Korban HaBayis. So you see how bad Lashon Hara is. Lashon Hara is really, unfortunately, it's dangerously and unfortunately too common. But it's something we have to try to be nicer. And this is a very, very strong message that the Korban HaBayis came from Lashon Hara. And we're talking about the source of Lashon Hara on Eretz Yisrael, Kavachomer on people. So we should be very, very careful when it comes to Lashon Hara. And just to recap, the number one yisod is that even if a person's feeling down, just know that first of all, Shevi Yipol Tzav come, you fall seven times and get back up, number one. And also that people are not looking at you as bad as you think. And that was their, that was Kadosh Baruch Hu's tying on the Melachim. Who were they to say that how the inhabitants of Eretz are looking upon them? Number one. Number two, the two Mahalchim. In terms of, should you be, they're both good Mahalchim. You have to know when to use each one, when to speak up against the wicked people that are trying to influence others, or whether to keep quiet and sort of use your position to prevent widespread wickedness. And number three, how severe the prohibition, the aver of Lashon Hara is. Have a wonderful Shabbos.